Chronicles 7:14, that we finally get it. If my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and then, this is the thing we don't want to do, this is the thing we've been resisting for 40 years, turn from our wicked ways. Admit them. Turn from them. Then God said, I will hear from heaven, forgive your sin, and heal your land. Time is short. What we do, we must do quickly. May God, in His mercy and His grace, preserve us a nation, as each one of us, one person at a time, repent and return to Him. Thanks for joining us. Become a partner. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries. P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Get a copy of the book, Renewing the Soul of America. $17 book for your gift of just $12 to Save America Ministries. Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA. Write to us. Get on our website, saveus.org. God bless you and be a blessing. Listen tonight, but let the Holy Spirit speak deep, probing deep into each one of our hearts.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismier. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's got to be reality and not illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, and supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, for the next hour, they're going to be your views, because it's Open Line Tuesday, and ordinarily we have Open Line Wednesday, but we have a great guest tomorrow evening, going to be with us for 2 hours, one of my very, very favorite guests, and a woman who I think will give you information you will not get elsewhere, information that is going to be vitally important in the days and weeks and months that lie ahead. So that's for tomorrow evening. It's Open Lines this evening, and we'll be glad to talk about whatever you'd like to talk about. Give us a call, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And I thought maybe we'd talk a little bit about oil and about natural gas this evening. Certainly we're told that things are looking up for gas and oil production in the United States, because of fracking, we're able actually to have a tremendous amount of natural gas. The price of natural gas is down to $2.60 per 1,000 cubic feet, and that's about half of what it was a couple of years ago. But we have abundant natural gas here, and in fact, we probably will very soon be the largest producer of natural gas in the world. Certainly, Saudi Arabia was the largest producer of oil in the world until, of course, we drilled the oil wells for Russia and the natural gas wells for Russia. And Russia today is the largest producer of oil and natural gas in the world. And how did we do it? Why, we lent them the money. We actually sent our firms over there, our corporations, and we build those wells. Why? Because you have to have an enemy. If you're going to have a war, you have to have an enemy. And you have to have a well self-financed enemy, and one of these days we're going to have a war with Russia again, but of course, or a war with Russia, but that'll be sometime in the future. Right now, we're building up the economy of Russia. We're building up the economy of China, and of course, we've transferred so much of our manufacturing, so much of our wealth. We've lent them so much money, and now, of course, they're buying our bonds, and of course, we have this sort of standoff. I mean, we're keeping their economy going, and they're keeping our economy going by buying up our debt, our massive debt. And basically, of course, we are the largest debtor nation. Not only in the world, we're the largest debtor nation that has ever existed. Our actual debt we talk about is 16.1 or 16.2, almost 16.2. $16.2 trillion. Remember, our entire gross domestic product for a year is only $16 trillion. But the real debt, according to John Williams at ShadowStats.com, is closer to $81 or $82 trillion, which means that if we took our entire gross domestic product, everything bought, sold, or manufactured in the United States, for the next 5 years, and we just put every cent into there, didn't spend one cent for the American people, why we still wouldn't be able to pay off the debt that we owe. There's no way that the debt will be paid off. There's no way the pensions and Social Security will be paid off. There's no way that Medicare will survive what's coming down the line. But nobody wants to tell you that. I'm not running for political office. I'm just telling you, ladies and gentlemen, prepare for the impossible times that lie ahead. But getting back, of course, to what's happening with natural gas and oil, suddenly America is beginning to produce this in large amounts. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. We've never had a shortage of oil and natural gas. They've known about this all along, but of course they haven't wanted you to know. And when we get back, we'll talk about the energy non-crisis. But give us a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Well, this is Dr. Stan. It's open line, so give us a call. We'll talk about whatever you'd like to talk about. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But I was talking about the energy non-crisis. Now, you read the articles in the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times and the other publications of the establishment, and they'll tell you that 4 or 5 years ago, it looked like America was going to be chronically, certainly dependent upon other nations for our oil supply. But miraculously, now we can fracture our oil, we can fracture the shale, and we can get these massive amounts of natural gas, and right now we're almost self-sufficient for natural gas, and soon we'll be one of the largest producers of natural gas in the world, and certainly our production of oil is up. Now, it used to be we were making about 40% of the oil that we used, and now we're getting up towards 60%, and certainly we can expect it to be increasing over the next decade or so until probably in 6 to 8, maybe 10 years, we'll be oil sufficient. And isn't this going to be wonderful? Of course, we've, in the meantime, we've actually had a massive balance of payment deficit, and we've been sending, well, we spend about $500 billion, American dollars, overseas every year to pay for, in large part, for our oil, natural gas, and other things we're buying from other countries, and things we have bought so cheaply from China that have made life so pleasant in here in the United States. And of course, we buy a fair number of cars from other countries, some of them imported, some of them are actually manufactured here. The major Japanese manufacturers have moved to the United States and are manufacturing their cars here, and the cars are really better than American cars, and that's because we are intentionally making second-rate cars so that people will tend to buy Japanese cars. Now, how can I say that? Well, of course, I asked my mechanic, you know, if you were going to buy a car, would you buy which car would you buy? And he shakes his head and says, well, I hate to tell you this, but I'd certainly buy a Toyota or a Honda, certainly. Why is that? Well, it's very simply, it was planned that way. If you've never heard our 4-CD set on the New Order of the Barbarians or read the transcript, which we have, that's the New Order of the Barbarians. It's based upon interviews with Dr. Dunnigan, who I've interviewed and who is a personal friend of Dr. Dennis Cuddy's, my good friend. But of course, certainly Dr. Dunnigan in 1969 had heard the whole plan laid out by Dr. Richard Day, who was the medical director of Planned Parenthood, but was also a member of something called the Order, a secret society that ran America in 1969. And basically, they talked about how at that time they were going to begin making inferior cars in America that would only last about 100,000 miles before they began to fall apart, and so that we could begin to shift automotive production to Japan and to other countries. That was the plan all along. They've carried it out. But all of these things that are going on, ladies and gentlemen, were planned, and the shortage of oil in America was planned. Back in 1974, from 1974 to 1977, one of our frequent guests today, a man named Lindsay Williams, was a chaplain on the Alaska pipeline, and they were building the pipeline, bringing oil down from the North Slope of Alaska to Valdez, and then, of course, apparently they shipped it from there. I've forgotten the name of the port, but there was a port there, and a warm water port, and so they were able to ship the oil from there to the United States. But basically, Lindsay, when he was working on the pipeline, had the opportunity of seeing a gusher come in on a place called Gull Island, just off the North Slope, just off the land there. And of course, it was he was told at that time there was a massive oil field off the North Slope of Alaska that had more oil in it than all of Saudi Arabia put together. And, of course, he was just really taken with this. And, of course, this was one day. The following day, he was told, we never should have told you that. I said, hey, please never repeat what you heard yesterday. And, of course, Lindsay did repeat what he had heard. And as a result of that, the gentleman who was in charge of the Alaska pipeline, a man named Mr. Ken Fromm, was fired because he had let Lindsay know the secret of this massive oil find. Well, then, of course, Mr. Fromm's without a job. He went to Lindsay and he said, look, now you've written a book about called The Energy Non-Crisis, but there are some things in it that just aren't right. Let me write a couple of chapters for you and get it squared so people will know about this massive oil find, the largest oil find in the world. Off the North Slope of Alaska. Now, this is probably 1978, 1979. And so Ken Fromm writes one or two chapters in Lindsay's book, The Energy Non-Crisis, whereupon the oil companies, the oil cartel, and we do have a cartel, they control the energy production in the world. It's illegal, but that's all right. They control the government, so nobody's going to bring charges against them. But basically, they rehired Mr. Fromm and told him he could never speak to Lindsay again. And that's exactly what happened. Well, I had an opportunity once I started doing radio to interview Lindsay Williams on a number of occasions, and I'm firmly convinced that what he said was right. In fact, I even checked the story with other people who worked on the oil pipeline who verified exactly what Ken Fromm had told Lindsay. Now, basically, Lindsay then, it was something... Maybe 6 or 7 years ago, when, of course, Lindsay got a call from Ken Fromm saying, look, I have been told by the powers that be that you are to stop circulating your book. You're to stop talking about the massive oil find off the North Slope of Alaska. And if you do not, and they laid out what they were going to do, and they were going to kill, in essence, he's never told me exactly what was said, but I assume they were going to kill his family and kill him. And, well, that was enough of an incentive. Lindsay decided that he would pull his book. He would no longer distribute his book. He'd take down his website, and he'd stop talking about the oil off the North Slope of Alaska. He promised Ken Fromm that, and in return, they promised not to kill him or kill his family. But then, of course, Lindsay apparently had talked to Mr. Fromm after he'd made the agreement, and Ken Fromm began telling him about some of the things that were going to be happening in America. And one of the facts was that at that time, of course, the price of oil was skyrocketing. The price of oil was going up and going up dramatically. And certainly, I thought it was going to $200 a gallon. Everything looked like it was well over, I think, $120, $130 a gallon a barrel at that time. And basically, there were a lot of other things that were going to be coming down the line that Ken Fromm told Lindsay. So, well, basically, about that time, I called Lindsay to find out why he had taken down his website. Lindsay told me the story. And, of course, I knew who this gentleman was, but he's always called him Mr. X until he died. But anyway, under any circumstances, Lindsay said, I've got all this information. I mean, everybody thinks the price of oil is going to go up, and it's not going to go up. It's going to come down. And basically, he told me a lot of other things are going to happen. What am I going to do with the information? And I said, why don't you call Ken and ask him if you can put it out? And that's what he did. And that's really where, of course, this whole new ministry for Lindsay began, as he began telling people what the future held based upon what Mr. Fromm had told him. And those things came to pass. And the price of oil did not continue going up. It dropped down to less than $50 a barrel. And everybody was amazed. And, of course, this then began Lindsay's ministry of getting information initially from Mr. Fromm, and when Mr. Fromm died, from other people who worked on the pipeline, who I personally know, but I'm not going to use their names because Lindsay has asked me not to. But, of course, basically, there's massive oil supplies. They've been there since 1977. They've known about it. And they've intentionally, of course, spent our money overseas to other countries, so we could finance Saudi Arabia. Why did we want to finance Saudi Arabia? So we could keep this ruthless, tyrannical, fascist dictatorship in power, and they could finance the Muslim Brotherhood and this whole radical Islamic movement in preparation for the coming war with the Muslim world. And up until recently, we have continued, of course, not producing oil, not developing our own oil resources, certainly using the resources. We get a good deal of our oil from Canada, a good deal of our oil from Mexico, some of it from Africa, some of it, of course, comes from the Middle East, but most of it doesn't. But that goes, of course, to Europe primarily, and to China, and to India. But, of course, America has always had the largest oil deposits in the world. Only recently have begun to develop them. Why have we begun to develop them? Well, I think we've begun to develop them because, of course, there is going to be another war, and they want America to be oil independent at that time. And they're in the process today of developing our oil. Well, there's massive amounts of oil in the Arctic Oil Reserve, and, of course, they won't let us develop that. There's massive amounts of oil off the North Slope, and they started to drill for it, and then they discontinued. They're going to hold off another year before they start drilling off the North Slope. Massive amounts of oil in America, specifically in Alaska, and they know that. They just don't want the American people to know that. Why? Well, because, of course, as long as there's a parent shortage, they can keep the price up. And the oil companies are using that money to pursue their real goal, and it is not profit. It's about bringing about a one-world government, a one-world financial system, and destroying Christianity. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And, of course, it's going to be open lines. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you right here at Radio Liberty. We'll be back in just a moment. Give us a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. Well, I... 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And Michael, calling from Michigan, said that he worked for the oil companies in the 1980s. They're crooked, certainly. They're bribing people. They're rigging the prices. And, of course, that they should certainly be put in prison. And I agreed with him. But, of course, I pointed out practically there's no way this is going to happen because the people who control big oil, the Rockefellers, certainly the Rothschilds, the major financiers of the world, the people who control the banking and certainly the major corporations and oil and the media are above the law, and there's no way that they're going to be held before the bar of justice. And one major reason is because there are powerful spiritual forces behind everything going on today. And you can't understand the coming war with the Muslim Brotherhood, the Muslim world, unless you've read prophecy and understand that as you see all of these countries joining together over there in the Near East, the Middle East, and you go back and you read Ezekiel 38 and 39, I believe we are seeing the fulfillment of those prophecies. Anything else you want to say, Michael, before we let you go?
Yeah, I believe that we have one hope and one hope only, and that would be that the Lord would put it upon the people's hearts to stand up to these oil guys and this American government, because if they don't, then they're just as guilty as they are, because they stand by day, letting them get away with illegal tactics and stuff that's wrong. Stuff that goes against God in the Ten Commandments, and so if you're going to do that, then you're a part of it, and then you should be a part of the problem, or you should get the wrath of the Lord when it comes down on you, because you wouldn't stand up. And the American people, I've always believed in the American people that they would stand up. I just keep waiting for it to happen. I don't know why it's not happening, but it needs to happen.
Michael, I would simply say that men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. God bless you. You're absolutely right on. Thanks very much for calling. And let's go to Bill, who's calling from Washington. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And let's go to Bill, who's calling from Washington. What part of Washington are you calling from, Bill?
It's in Tri-Cities, Washington.
Okay, fine. Do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, I was reading about how NATO now comprises 2/3 of the world's countries, and I was just seeing that basically, that, you know, they're expanding further and further into all of these countries around the world, and NATO used to be a collective security agreement, and now it's basically becoming the global military, and with all of the special operations of our military and the way that the drones are being used, it's increasingly becoming, even though it's still called the United States military, it's becoming the global military.
Well, no, Bill, it's just called NATO military, but you're absolutely right. We control NATO, and NATO is becoming a world army. Go ahead.
And they're part of, when the troops go into Afghanistan, well, anywhere they go, but especially Afghanistan, it's referred to as International Assistance Security Force.
But Bill, the whole idea has always been, and this idea goes back thousands of years, that America, and when they knew America was here, and if you doubt that, you need to read The Secret Destiny of America by Manly P. Hall, who is a Satanist, and we actually have the book available, and he talks about for 3,000 years the secret societies have been planning on having America, this nation that would develop one day in America, in North America, lead the world into this one world government, this associations of so-called democracies. Well, this association democracies is basically a series of totalitarian states run as democracies to give the idea that people have some choice when they go to the polls and vote. But the truth of the matter is, when you go to the polls, you vote for the candidate of their choice, not of the candidate of the people's choice. And a perfect example is the debates we have here. Why don't they allow the other presidential candidates there? I mean, certainly Mr. Johnson from the Libertarian Party, his name is on 48 ballots across America. It'd be on 49 if they hadn't cheated him out of Michigan. But they do all sorts of dishonest things. They don't want you to have a choice. But that's always been the plan, and this is exactly what's happening. And NATO is the international army today, and you're right. Initially, it was the North American Treaty Organization. But, of course, it was a European Treaty Organization, North Atlantic Treaty Organization, NATO. Today, it is an international army, and, of course, it is being used to bring about a world government. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295.
While the storm clouds gather,
this is Dr. Stan. It's Open Lines. We have Doug on the line from Spokane. We'll get to Doug in just a minute. Right now we're talking to Bill, and of course our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And Bill is simply saying he's sick and tired of the debates. Why? Because, of course, you have two candidates. He's one talking about how we're going to have this mighty army and we're going to go all over the world, certainly maintaining peace. And certainly if there's injustice there or people being oppressed, we're going to come to their aid because that's the purpose of America. And I would like to suggest that is not the purpose of America. That is the purpose of the one world government, of course, to impose authoritarian societies and installed dictators throughout the world, and that's just what we're doing. Of course, we pretend it's the democratic. We installed the Ayatollahs in Iran in 1979. We installed the Ayatollahs in Iran in 1979. You go back and you read the history of that time. We're keeping the Saudi kings, the dictatorship in power. We're keeping dictators in power all over the world in the name of democracy. And here in America, we have two candidates. We never allow the libertarian candidate or the constitutional candidate or the other candidates that are on the ballot in almost every state in our country. We don't allow them in the debates because you're not to have a choice. You're to vote for the candidate of the elite's choice, or you're to vote for Mitt Romney or for Barack Obama. But of course, nothing is going to change because both of them are under their control. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Bill, parting thought. We've got other people on the line calling in. Go ahead. Parting thought, Bill.
Well, I'd rather have a Constitution Party candidate than a Green Party, but the Green Party ladies, they tried to get into the debates and they were handcuffed to a jail or inside of a warehouse for 8 hours.
Well, but basically they were lucky. That's the worst thing that happened to them. God bless. Thanks so much, Bill. Let's go to Doug calling from Spokane. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-2295. And hi, Doug, what would you like to talk about?
How you doing, Dr. Stan? I love your show. I listen to it every time I'm heading to Seattle.
Okay, fine. Well, I'm glad to have you with us. So what can we do for you?
More than half the people that call your show, they just don't like Bill there. They just don't understand. It doesn't matter if it's Obama or Romney or Bush or Gore. It doesn't matter. They all work for the same people. And the people that are, the person that's really in charge is Satan, and we all know that. Until you get rid of that dude, we're going to have problems forever. Sometimes I wonder if there's groups of people out there waiting to rise up when they see these bad things happen, but I don't think there are because they're so good at causing confusion and that's just, you know, it's, like I said, they have these debates and they have these different parties. He's talking about the Constitutional Party or the Green Party. It doesn't matter what party it is, they just take it over and they'll take control of that party until it's what they want. I mean, again, they're masters at causing confusion and it's not going to end until we do something about it. The problem is, I talk to people all the time about how money's created, how things really work, and within 2 minutes of talking to them, you got a blank stare.
But basically, Doug, could I make a suggestion? Don't lecture people. Don't tell them what's going on. Ask them leading questions. I mean, I try to get them to think, because if you tell them the truth, they're going to reject it. What you've got to do is get them to think. This is how I got started 50 years ago. This is how so many people have had their whole worldview changed. And basically,
they need to read books. They need to educate themselves. The reason why we're so stupid is because we're not educated. We don't know how money works. We don't know. We don't have any common sense.
We've got to look at everything
with just common sense. You understand it.
Well, but Doug, we have to get people to think, to begin using their minds instead of accepting what they've been programmed to believe. One of the first things you need to do is convince them that the media is controlled and most of the things that they have heard and learned through the years are not true. Ask them what they know about Operation Keelhaul, because that was actually the program at the end of World War II. They rounded up 6 million Russians and they sent them back to Stalin to be killed. Nobody's ever heard of that. Ask them if they've heard about the Great Hunger, the 40 billion people.
It's just like the JFK story, you know. JFK was killed because he was creating treasury notes that were going to compete with the Federal Reserve notes. And that's
I know,
they
but
killed
see,
him.
You're lecturing them. You want to ask them questions, and then when they don't know the answer, you give them the answer, but don't press too hard. I know how deeply you feel. I feel as deeply as you do. I've been at this for 50 years.
It's frustrating, Dr. Stan.
I know it is. God, I'm going to have to let you go because
90%,
I... I'm going to have to let you go.
All right.
I agree with everything you said. Okay.
Goodbye.
God bless. Okay, fine. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And Doug is frustrated. And I don't blame him for being frustrated. He talks to people and they look back at him with a blank glaze. What does that mean? Their minds are under control. What we have to do, your job and mine, is to break that control over their minds. Get them thinking. Why do you think that the Israelis recently released 1,027 convicted terrorists to get back one soldier? Could you explain to me why they would do that? Does that make any sense? Why do we have all those troops over there in Afghanistan, the 100,000 contractors and 30 or 40,000 NATO troops and certainly financing, 300,000 Afghan troops, when there are only 50 members of Al-Qaeda there? And then people question that figure. Well, you tell them to go on the internet and just type in Leon Panetta, Al-Qaeda, Afghanistan, 50 members of Al-Qaeda. Leon Panetta, Afghanistan, 50 members of Al-Qaeda. Tell them to check it out and then explain to you why we have all those people over there to fight 50 members of Al-Qaeda. Well, anyway, try to get him to think. Our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. It's open lines, and we have Mike calling from Scotts Valley. Hi, Mike. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, Stan. Stan, I want to commend you on the Radio Liberty Conference this year. I attended that, and some real important pertinent topics. For those of the people that missed it, they might want to look into the speakers for their subject of interest. But I wanted to call. My call was mainly about having watched the recent debate, having watched before that Paul Ryan and Vice President Biden, and just the lack of really substantial content in both the vice presidential debate and the presidential debates. How they both candidates really keep the focus general and abroad, not really addressing significant issues here at home in the United States, such as previously your conversation with the previous caller on the function of our economy, things like the National Defense Authorization Act. It's like none of these significant topics, of course, are touched on at all. It's just, you know, empty promises and projection out there. And I just felt like I had to call and just say glaringly.
Well, Mike, I know just how you feel. Our telephone number is set to 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But, Mike, you're absolutely right. It is all smoke and mirrors. It is all simply an effort to entertain you, to make you think that there's a difference between the Republicans and the Democrats. Supposedly the Republicans are pro-life and the Democrats are pro-choice. The Republicans are pro-family values and the Democrats are pro-homosexuals. And it's all to give you the idea they're different positions. Both parties are in favor of ever more government spending. Both parties are in favor of globalism, an all-powerful American army that will dominate the world. And both parties are in favor of more and more government spending. Neither one is going to get our debt down. We have to, of course, do just stop our federal spending. They talk about the Constitution, but they don't believe in the Constitution because most of what they're doing and most of what they're advocating is totally unconstitutional. America was a great nation because we restricted the power of the central government so men could be free. And matters dealing with life, liberty, and property were to be dealt with at the state and the local level, never by the federal government. And when suddenly Barack Obama talks about education and how we're going to have better education because of his policies, and of course certainly Romney thinks, no, certainly we're going to have better education because of my policies, they both ought to be impeached. because education is not a function of the federal government. And the reason our children know so little today is simply because they are intentionally being dumbed down because of federal programs. And certainly you heard that talk, certainly that Arlene Kula gave on Sunday evening, very, very important.
Yes, very important. So I'm just aware and just disgusted from having, you know, taken time to watch those last couple of debates, that this, it just seems like an attempt at really just mass hypnosis or subterfuge for even the people that I was watching it with, for any of us to comment about somebody really doing a good job in that context where there's such a lack of substance. Glaringly obvious that the agenda just continues to get kicked down the road, and there's really I don't see any significant difference between the two. They're joined at the hip. It's amazing how much they, apart from personal attacks with each other, couldn't say anything in contrast to each other because it. Unspokenly agree on so many key policies that they really approach it a similar way than each other.
You're absolutely right, and all we can do is try to point that out to people and let them understand we have a one-party system. But after all, if you wanted a dictatorship, wouldn't you try to convince the people that you had a democracy and then you would control both political parties? And that's just what they're doing.
And Stan, I appreciate your wisdom. I'm going to hop off, but I think, you know, with like Doug before and myself, your advice is well said about being able to ask people questions and not to, teach at them. That's wisdom.
See if you can get him to listen to my program. Tell him that this crazy guy on the air, but sometimes he says something worthwhile. Give me a chance. Maybe I can convince him. Sometimes it'll take people 6 months of listening before they're finally convinced we're right. But eventually they come to understand. Anyway, God bless Mike.
Thanks very much
for calling. Our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295, and we will have CDs of certain of the programs, and then we'll have DVDs of the programs we had this weekend. Great talks. There were five of them. But right now, let's go to Dave calling from Central New York. Hi, Dave. How are we doing?
Doing good, Dr. Stan.
You have a question or comment?
I listened to the debates, and I found out that Obama, by listening to him through some back channels, that Obama's much smarter than I previously thought, because I learned a secret that was revealed to me and probably shouldn't have been, that Obama realizes how smart Romney is compared to him and more intelligent, and that Obama himself is going to vote for Romney for president. Did you hear that, Dr. Stan?
No, I don't believe that, but it's a great story. Go ahead.
Well, I wanted to pass that on to the listeners. I thought that was really quite a piece of information.
Okay, well, I would not want to be quoted as saying that Obama was going to vote for Romney, but basically, of course, it's all showbiz, Dave. It's just all entertainment. It's to try to preserve this whole myth of a two-party system and democracy. But, of course, it doesn't matter what the people want. It doesn't matter what their duly elected representatives want. There's a small group who controls the whole thing. The bureaucracy runs the country. The Federal Reserve System and tells them what to do. And certainly they have their people planted within the military, within the banking system, within the corporations, at the leadership of both political parties, within our churches, within our educational system, and they control our media. They control this country and make mockery out of the idea that we have a democracy. Because, of course, our founding father said democracy doesn't work. In fact, Plato said that 2,500 years ago in the Republic. And certainly, if you read the 10th of the Federalist Papers, why John Adams said, basically, democracies are air spectacles of turmoil and contention. they're incompatible with personal liberty and the right of personal security and the right of private property, and are certainly usually as short in their lives as they are violent in their deaths. And I fear the violence is coming in very soon. Anything else you want to say, Mike, before we let you go? I mean, Dave, anything else you want to say, Dave, before we let you go?
Well, Dr. Stan, I think it is possible that being up against Romney, that I think Obama may realize that this Romney fellow is more intelligent than he is. I really do think so.
Well, maybe you could find out from him if... you're going to have to get a sworn statement before I think anybody's going to believe he's going to vote for Romney. But anyway,
yeah, I know. I'm just having a little fun. But
I know you are. God bless and thanks very much. Bye-bye. And bye-bye. Romney is very, very smart. You're right. And right now, let's go to John calling from Spokane. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. And hi, John. How are we doing?
Good. One thing I want to, I was listening to your show yesterday with Bob Fletcher. I thought it was great. I think
wasn't,
this guy
wasn't
is...
Wasn't that an amazing program? I didn't know where he was going. We hadn't had a chance to talk about it, and I was very impressed.
Well, I've done a lot of research on that, and, it is, the funny thing is on that whole thing, this was a while ago, and you could actually track everything via the SOHO satellite. There were daily downloads twice a day. And then I think it was November a couple years ago when the downloads ceased. And you can't, it's like it's a blackout.
Well, let me just tell people, Bob Fletcher talked about the fact that the elite have massive underground caverns and places to go. They're anticipating some terrible problems. They're buying up massive amounts of ammunition. They're buying up massive amounts of freeze-dried food. They have caskets, actually, for about 2 million people. And he has pictures of all of these. And the question is, why? What do they know that the rest of us don't know? Well, this is Dr. Stan. Certainly, we were talking with John from Spokane, certainly about the what happened during Noah's time. And, of course, there was a great flood at that time. God promised he would never destroy the world with a flood again. I fear the next time it's going to be the fire. Anyway, we're in difficult times. You need to understand what's going on. We hope, of course, you want to get some of the material that we have. We had a great interview last night with Bob Fletcher. Bob will be putting out a new DVD going into the background, certainly, of the cataclysmic times that lie ahead. And most people don't know that there really are, certainly, probably at least 500,000 caskets the government has. Each one can take 4 bodies. You can actually see pictures of them up on YouTube. Alex Jones showed them to Jesse Ventura. I believe it's true. Why is the government buying up large amounts? We're talking about billions of rounds of ammunition. Why is the government buying up massive amounts of freeze-dry food? In fact, for almost 6 months, it was almost impossible to get freeze-dry food except from some of the major distributors here. Now, of course, the government stopped buying, but what did they do with all that freeze-dried food? What are they preparing for? I think they know this is going to be some major cataclysmic events. How do we understand what's going on? Well, you need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. If you haven't read it, you need to read it. You need to hear my talks on the dark secret, on the forbidden secret, and on Agenda 21. The Covert Plan, that's Agenda 21, The Covert Plan. All 4 of them, my book, The Dark Secret, The Forbidden Secret, Agenda 21, The Covert Plan, are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. We do hope, of course, you want to get those, and of course, you have my permission with anything that I have produced to go ahead and reproduce it and get it out. Your job is to reach as many people as you can, and as we told our earlier caller, don't lecture people. Ask them questions, and then try to get them to listen to our programs. And then, of course, I want to mention, if you're in a position to help financially, we could certainly use it. Well, it's a very expensive proposition to buy radio time on stations across America, but as you can tell, we have a good listening audience there, certainly in Spokane, Washington, and certainly all throughout Washington, in Michigan, in upstate New York. I do want to mention our shortwave broadcast. As of next Monday, that's the 28th of October, we're going to shift from our current shortwave broadcast to 3.195. That's 3.195. And so if you are a shortwave listener, why, be sure to mark that down. Next Monday, we go to 3.195. Then, of course, we hope you go to our website, radioliberty.com. You can certainly read our newsletters there going back to the mid-1990s. You can certainly watch many of the DVDs we posted there. They're there. And, of course, you can watch them for nothing. You can listen to our radio programs. We actually do 5 hours of talk radio a day, and 4 hours are actually archived there. You can listen to them live at radioliberty.com. Or you can certainly listen to them archived there at radioliberty.com. We try to keep them up for about 6 weeks. We need you to get informed and then to help us inform others. What is really going on? Well, we're involved in a spiritual battle. There's a supernatural element to everything that's going on. Now, certainly the ministers, many of them will not even talk about the supernatural element, the demonic forces, the fact that the world today is ruled by the prince of darkness. Lucifer is in charge here on earth. Now, that doesn't mean that God isn't guiding many of our lives. I see God's influence in my life. But he's letting the general events unfold. One of these days, he's going to, of course, intervene. And at that point, there's going to be terrible, terrible problems. But in the meantime, of course, most people don't understand that we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. So our plea to you is, please pray for America, pray for revival, pray for our leaders and our ministers, pray for Alex and Joyce and Noah Hutchings and John Loeffler and all those in the front lines. But please pray for Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Stephen Frank, who's a good friend of ours. He certainly is an observer. He writes a daily blog, and he wants to talk about what's happening with the elections. Now, we've got elections coming up in about 2 weeks, and we have certainly a Democrat candidate. We've got a Republican candidate. The trouble is they're both globalists. Both are telling us how they're going to get our economy working, but you're not going to get our economy working unless, of course, we stop our globalist policies and encouraging our industries and our manufacturing to go overseas. And until we stop, of course, flooding our nation with immigrants, both legal and illegal. We're bringing H-1B-1 immigrants there, and many times they're getting jobs. In fact, employees, people with long-term jobs, are having to train the replacement, and then they're out on the workforce. They're lying, certainly, about the unemployment rate. There are at least 23 million Americans who are certainly unemployed or underemployed. The real unemployment rate is well over 20%, and that, of course, is the unemployed, the underemployed, and those who've simply given up working, looking for work, and that's about 20%. And then you've got the 15 million Americans, certainly they're just on disability. Why? Because it's easier to be on disability than to be without a job. Stephen Frank, it's up to you. Give us your take on what's happening as far as the elections.
Dr. Stan, always good to be with you. Last night's debate between the president and the governor certainly was enlightening to all of us, and it showed that President Obama really can feel the pressure, that he was aggressive, he was arrogant, he was condescending, he was, as one pundit put it, snarky. This is a president who knows he's losing and going to lose the power he has, and he hasn't come to grips with that yet. On the other side of the table, you had Governor Romney, who showed a great deal of confidence and acted more presidential than the president did. And President Romney is going to come in, and he is a member of the Council of Foreign Relations. He's a man who has very moderate views. He's not going to rock the boat too much, but he does have one item he has to do, and no matter how he gets it done, he's going to have to do it, and that is to lower the unemployment rate. And as he lowers the unemployment rate, he will also at the same time be lowering the spending rate.
Are you sure that Romney is a member of the Council on Foreign Relations? I don't have him on my membership list, but maybe I'm outdated. Is he really a member of the CFR?
I understand he is.
All right, fine. Maybe somebody could check that out for us, but go right ahead. But certainly he's going right along. He's surrounded by CFR, Trilateral Commission people, and certainly just as, of course, as Barack Obama. But go ahead.
Well, of course, one of his chief foreign affairs advisors is former Secretary of State George Shultz. And George Shultz has long been a member.
Oh, no question. Of course, Romney surrounded himself with trilateral and CFR people. And understand, ladies and gentlemen, he has to. I mean, basically, Ronald Reagan, after speaking out against the danger of the Trilateral Commission and the CFR, had over 200 of them on his administration. He had no choice. And fortunately, this is the way the world really runs. The same people control both political parties and make mockery out of the electoral process. But we're living in exciting and dangerous times. We're going to be back in just a moment with our special guest, Stephen Frank, right here at Radio Liberty to get his view of what's really going on behind the scenes. Stan, and certainly Stephen is pointing out that the debate, certainly on Monday evening, was really very interesting in the fact that Romney did not allow this to become really a major discussion of foreign policy. He wanted to take this around to the economy, because that's an excellent place to go. And simply pointing out that certainly the last 4 years have been a disaster for the economy, and that he has a program, whether it's true or not, to get Americans working, and he's going to make 12 million new jobs, and basically reiterating what he said before. And I think that most Americans will agree we cannot continue going the way we are. So I think Romney, from that point of view, as simply as far as the debate is concerned, made his point very well. It was supposed to be about foreign policy, but as certainly as Stephen had pointed out, why most people don't even have any idea where Kazakhstan is. Well, of course, I know where Kazakhstan is. It's very close to Kurdistan and Uzbekistan, of course. But the average individual has no idea where Uzbekistan and Kurdistan and Kazakhstan are either. Basically, people are not concerned about what is going on. They're more concerned about the coming up World Series. They're more concerned, certainly about the football season. But ladies and gentlemen, our very existence as a free society depends upon what happens. Now, I'm not saying that it's going to make a dime's worth of difference whether we have Obama or Romney as the president, because the same people control both political parties and make mockery of the electoral process. But anyway, go right ahead, Stephen, with your thoughts on the elections, their implications, of what is going to happen to America. And I would simply point out that Stephen is one of the few people I know who's been at this as long as I have. He's been at it over 50 years, as have I. And that's a long, long time to dedicate yourself to a cause. But, of course, the cause is the survival of freedom in America and hopefully throughout the world. Go right ahead, Stephen.
That's great. And it's one of the more interesting parts of the debate last night. Romney was not defending the promotion of democracy. What he was promoting, and he said it at least once, was that he was promoting the extension of freedom. The difference between Romney and Obama is that President Obama, by his actions, has put himself in front of terrorists and apologized for the United States. He's been divisive. He is, to the European nations in 2009 in France, I think it was June of 2009, he told the French people that the United States has divided the world and we need to make up for it and that we aren't the great people we pretend to be. His words. This is not the words coming from a president. What I see for the election, I believe, that in a few days, by Sunday, 5 days from now, when the polls come out on Sunday morning, we will see what the whether or not the momentum of Governor Romney has continued. If the momentum of Governor Romney has continued through this coming Sunday, that would mean he'll have enough electoral votes to win the election. And if once that starts by Monday night, you're going to see pundits ask the question, what will the Romney cabinet look like? Who's going to be Secretary of State? Who's going to be Treasurer? And as these questions are being raised, and as the polls show Romney running away from Obama to win the election, the Democrats are going to start being very depressed. Their vote will be suppressed by the depression, and we may see a 1980 type of election where a lot of Republicans won Senate seats that no one ever believed they could. We won congressional seats no one thought we could. And, of course, we won the presidency in a very against an incumbent Democrat, Jimmy Carter. So I think that by Sunday we'll know. Now, if the president gains in the polling, then we're going to come down to another 2000 election where some state is going to wait up to the middle of the night or for several days or even weeks, like Florida did in the 2000 election, before we know who won the presidency.
Well, let me put in my two cents worth. I believe, of course, that in the year 2008, the Trilateral Commission, the establishment, backed Barack Obama. I believe that in 2012, the Trilateral Commission and the Council on Foreign Relations are backing Mitt Romney. I think Mitt Romney is saying everything they want to hear. I think Mitt Romney is simply, I don't think we know what Mitt Romney really thinks, what he really stands for, what he's really going to do. He is being the typical politician. He is simply saying what people want to hear. He's not going to tell them the truth that Social Security is bankrupt. He's not going to tell them the truth that Medicare was bankrupt. And if I was running for president, I wouldn't either, because, of course, you wouldn't get any votes. Now, that's the reason I'm not running for president. I wouldn't want to have to get up there and tell a lot of things that weren't true. But he is being a pragmatic politician. He's doing, from a political point of view, an excellent job of talking a great deal, sounding very good and not saying anything. And that's what you got to do if you want to become the president of the United States. Never tell people the truth because they don't want to hear it. Go right ahead, Steve.
Well, that is quite true. People, as Jack Nicholson said in the movie A Few Good Men, I think it was A Few Good Men, the truth, you can't handle the truth. And the American public is not willing to face the truth, nor can the American public handle the truth. And that is really the problem of politics in America. We've known for a long time that Social Security and Medicare are going bankrupt. We know here in this state, our pension systems, CalPERS and CalSTRS, are insolvent, if not bankrupt. Cities are going belly up, and mainly because they can't afford to pay for the pensions. And those pensions were created by sweetheart deals between unions and elected officials. The elected officials get campaign donations, and the unions get the sky's the limit type of benefits and salaries. And now the roosters have come home, and we just can't pay for it anymore. And our leadership, whether it's the mayor or the governor, or the president himself, they're unwilling to tell us the truth about our economic condition.
You know, I think one of the most interesting things is Proposition 30. You know, certainly I have to admit I have not read Proposition 30, all the fine print, but I read a fascinating article the other day, and of course I've seen all these wonderful advertisements on television telling us how Proposition 30 is going to set up a fund for education, and basically the money that goes into this fund from Proposition 30 for education, why the politicians aren't going to be able to get their hands on it, and certainly that's going to be a lock system, and this money is going to help education. But apparently what the Proposition 30 does is set up not one but two funds. And of course I think the education gets about $1.6 billion, but the other fund gets $6 or $7 billion, and that's the one the politicians get. So when they have these ads on television and they tell you this fund's for education, the politicians can't touch it. They don't tell you that's a very small fund compared with the other fund that Proposition 30 is going to create. The politicians will be able to do all sorts of things with, and that covers all sorts of welfare and pensions, and they're hoping to have that money. And it's amazing, you know, it's a half-truth. Yes, the education fund is set up, the politicians can't get their hands on it, but the other fund, that's the one they never mentioned. Go right ahead, Stephen.
Well, 2 points. First of all, that education money will never go into the classroom. The former head of the California School Boards Association said that not a dime of this new tax, which is a total of $50 billion, is going to go to education. All the money that goes into that locked box will actually go to the pension fund. And if you may remember, several years ago, I think it was under Reagan, we set up a lockbox for Social Security, and that never happened. So that's just a lie. But if you looked at those ads, you will note, never once do they say that these funds, where the funds are coming from. They never say this is a tax, that this is a $50 billion tax, and that it's both on income and sales, and everybody is going to pay this, but they don't mention at all in the ads for Prop 30, nor for Prop 38, which is $120 billion, that the money for that one, nor 30, this one, comes from increased taxes. They never mention that. So that's just misleading, to say the least.
But basically, they talk about how this is going to tax the rich. You know, the very rich are going to have to pay this. Oh, there's a little sales tax, but we're really going to tax the rich. And basically, their taxes are going to go up to 1, 2, or 3%. But they don't tell you a massive increase, a full 1% on your sales tax, 1.5% on your sales tax. Everybody's going to have to pay that. We're going to be back in just a moment with Stephen Frank. If you have a question or comment, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California. You must understand, ladies and gentlemen, that the whole system is beginning to crumble. Basically, it is debt that has destroyed civilizations down through the ages. It destroyed ancient Greece and ancient certainly Spain and ancient Rome, and it's destroyed ancient, I should say, Great Britain. It has destroyed most of the major monarchies of Europe, and it's about to destroy America. And there is no solution to the debt we face. Stan, and certainly Stephen is saying that the polls so far, the analysis on Proposition 38 is it's going to do poorly. Proposition 30, let's hope and pray that that goes down, because this is a gimmick to give the state a lot more money. They talk about the children. They don't care about the children. If they care about the children, they'll be trying to give them an excellent education instead of using the system to destroy the moral fabric of society and certainly indoctrinate our children in socialism and immorality. And we can put this directly at the schools. It's certainly not the fault of the teachers, but it is the fault of the people, of course, who control our educational system, who are using our education to indoctrinate our children in socialism and globalism and immorality, and that's unconscionable. Go right ahead, Stephen.
Well, actually, you're right on target there. The last 5 years, the amount of money spent on students in California has gone down every year. We now have fewer teachers, fewer classrooms. We have larger class sizes. All these things are terrible, yet at the same time, standardized tests in the state, plus the ACT and SAT tests, show that California students every year have been improving the quality of their education and the value of their education, while the amount of money spent on government education has gone down. So the less we spend, the better the schools get. So it wouldn't be a bad idea for him for the governor to take $5 or $6 billion from the schools, because that just means the teachers are going to work harder, and they will only work on the academics, and our students will succeed even more. And that's what the education is about, not the money, but the education itself. And we could much more quickly get to that point if we consider the unions nothing more than the Rotary Club or Kiwanis, who have every right to their opinions on how education is run, but that they don't take money from teachers without permission. And so we are in the midst of an education revival by not spending money on education here in California.
And, of course, Proposition 32, you want to cover that? Incidentally, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. If you have a question or comment, if you agree or disagree with Stephen, give us a call, because this is open. You can certainly give us a call, and we'll let you get your thoughts out there. 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. What do you think about Proposition 32?
Well, in the past, Proposition 32, which used to be called Paycheck Protection, lost 53-47 twice. It just didn't have enough money to get over the hump. This time, Proposition 32 has over $20 million being spent in favor of it, though the unions are spending $40 to $50 million to kill it. Now, Proposition 32... stops the unions from stealing from workers paychecks to pay for a radical political ideology and agenda, stops the unions from stealing from workers so the money which is being now used to elect radicals to the legislature, to pass tax increases, to harm the education of our children. We now have an opportunity to stop special interest money. This stops, Proposition 32 stops the unions from taking money from paychecks of workers for political purposes, and we now know that the dues, 46% of the dues, is strictly for politics. Now I'm going to make you a little bit angry, Dr. Stan. And it's just come to my attention over the last week or so. As you may know, if you're a union member, you pay dues, and those dues are then written off as a business expense on your state and federal tax forms, which means that the federal taxpayers and the state taxpayers are subsidizing the unions through your dues. So you are paying through your income taxes a little bit more so the unions can elect Barack Obama and Jerry Brown president and governor and pass tax increases here in the state of California. That's something that we need to stop. 50% of union dues go for politics, then that money should not be available for a tax deduction as a business expense.
Well, because it shouldn't be taken forcibly from the workers, that's the thing.
That's
whether they be workers or whether they be teachers, you should not be able to forcibly take money from people to use it for political purposes that they disagree with. Well, under the threat, you're going to lose your job if you don't pay the union. We'll be back in a moment. Dr. Stan, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. If you have a question or comment, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Now, Stephen Frank is our guest, and in just a moment I'll have Stephen tell you how you can get in touch with him and his blog. But basically here in California, as far as state government employees, why, of course, the state collects the union dues from the employee's paycheck. That money then, of course, is given to the politicians to get higher wages for the state employees. And so basically they buy and sell the politicians with the money they take by force from the government workers. Basically, in California today, Why, of course, government workers earn about between 35 and 40% more than people, certainly in the general population, the people who are paying the taxes. Furthermore, of course, the union workers get a wonderful pension, wonderful health care benefits, and all paid for by, of course, the people here in California. Why should government workers, who are supposedly servants, public servants, get more? Because, of course, they elect the politicians, and the politicians tax us so that we can give more money to our government employees. And pretty soon, of course, the government employees are running us rather than us running the government employees. And then instead of being public servants, government employees become public masters. Stephen, would you like to tell our listeners how they could get hold of your blog, get your information, and if you're out there in the listening audience and you have a question or comment, we'd love to hear from you. Our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And if you disagree, we'd love to hear from you. That's what talk radio is all about. Go ahead, Stephen.
Right. I put out a newsletter every morning called the California Political News and Views, and it's a free subscription. You can go to capoliticalnews.com, capoliticalnews.com. And on the right side of the main page, you will have a subscription form. Just click on it. It's free. We don't charge for subscriptions. And every night we put out 10 new stories, usually stories that the mainstream media either is not reporting or underreporting or misreporting. And we explain what the story is about, then you could read the story. And we have all sorts of other YouTube features on the on that, and we change the stories every day, and sometimes during the day we change stories in different sections of the news of the website. It's capoliticalnews.com, capoliticalnews.com.
Okay, fine. Well, if you're out there in the audience, you have a question or comment, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And Stephen has gone on record as saying that he thinks that Romney is going to win. Would that be a fair estimate?
Yes, I believe Romney's going to win. The only question now is it going to be a close election, or will it be a landslide election like 1984, Reagan over Mondale? And if it is a 1984 type election, that will sweep in a lot more Republicans to the U.S. Senate and to Congress, and even more Republicans to the governorships. Right now, the Republicans have 29 governors, and in all probability, at the end of this election on November 6th, the Republicans will have 33 or 34 governors. And, of course, it's been the governors that have created the incubators, the laboratories in their states in which to fix their economies, to create jobs. The problem, of course, is that the federal government is acting against the best interests of the states and the people, and so the full force of Republican governors hasn't come to bear because Washington is holding them all back. Here in California, we have an actual deficit of $66 billion so far in the first 3 months of the year. Our debt is $631 billion, but we have over $165 billion worth of mandates that we have to spend. For instance, the federal government through the EPA has mandated that California spend $40 billion on refurbishing its water supply and its infrastructure. That won't bring us a single drop of new water, but it's going to cost $40 billion to do it. The ratepayers are going to pay it, and imagine how much the cost of water has to go up just to pay for this federal mandate. And again, that will, of course, move people out of state and businesses out of state that can no longer afford to operate here in California. I'm sure you in the Monterey area, as well as any of the listeners anywhere in California, know that the cost of water and energy goes up about 8% a year, and sometimes even more. And that's after the last 5 or 6 years of those increases, it has just about doubled the price of energy and the price of water in the state.
All right, fine. Well, let's go to Bruce, who's calling us from Durand, Michigan. Again, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Hi, Bruce. How are we doing?
Hi. Okay. I haven't paid enough attention, I guess, to proposals around the country in the last few years. I'm wondering how far back did they start to constitutionalize proposals? We have 6 coming up in Michigan in November. And 5 of them want to amend our Constitution to force these things into the Constitution. They'll be hard to get rid of. One of them is Proposal 3, and advertisers are saying that rich millionaires, multimillionaires out in California, you're both Californians, and I want to ask about that. These rich multimillionaires out in California want to force us to have 25% renewable energy by, I can't remember the date, 2016 or something like that. And
okay.
there's a lot of other ones that help the public union. And
well, no, but basically, what is the provision there? Do they want to vote for or against the so-called renewable energy?
I think I'll just vote no on everything. But a yes vote will mean that there will be renewable energy mandated into the Constitution of Michigan.
Well, I would vote definitely against that. Basically,
yeah, I will vote the
renewable energy is solar and wind, and it is extremely expensive
and undependable.
And undependable, right? And what are your thoughts on that?
Are there multimillionaires out there in California who are trying to press this on Michigan?
Well, I have no idea. What do you know anything about that, Stephen?
Well, there have been a series. Gentlemen's right. There's a series of very wealthy people here in California who have formed a series of companies. Then they got grants and loans and guarantees from the federal government to create solar panel companies and solar energy companies here in California. And as we now know, thanks to Fox Business News, by 2015, all of those companies will be out of business because the Chinese have taken over the solar panel business. Plus, is going to cost us, according to Governor Romney, a total of $90 billion that President Obama gave these companies and its related companies. And the most interesting part, of course, is somebody in each of those companies or the lobbyists for the companies were major donors to the Obama campaign in 2008. So there's a direct line between campaign donations and the granting of federal funds to these companies. We just found out yesterday that Solandra, that we thought we were going to lose $500 million with, we're now up to $829 million that we're going to lose. So Governor Romney is correct. The number is probably around $90 billion. There is a... I think it's in Michigan, an electric battery company called A123 that's received a couple of $100 million to provide electric batteries for a company called Tesla, which has been given over $1 billion of federal money. And the company A123 is going bankrupt before they produce the first battery. And they just let go 700 workers.
And basically what you're doing, of course, is the federal government is giving large sums of money to some of these electric companies, and these electric companies are giving large sums of money to the Obama campaign. That's how it works, Bruce. Anything else you'd like before we let you go?
Maybe even more important, you guys are awash in red ink out there, right?
Right, absolutely.
Have you had proposals that were amended into the Constitution? How far back does this go?
Bruce, we have certainly passed legislation here in California mandating a balanced budget. And you know what? It passed overwhelmingly. I know what happened. They just ignored it. Well, Stephen, do you have any comment on that?
Right. That was Proposition 25, and we passed it. And the courts ruled that as long as the legislature claims
the budget is balanced, no matter how out of balance it is, as long as the legislature claims the budget is balanced, it's legally balanced. So it doesn't matter how much red ink it has.
So basically, of course, we can have a $600 billion deficit, but as long as the legislature says everything's in balance, it's in balance. You see, that's quite logical, isn't it?
It gives me the creepy feeling to know that these laws will be in the Constitution, and then you'll have constitutional lawyers and judges telling us what to do rather than the people. They'll say, well, the people wanted this, but maybe the people didn't want that.
But you see, they have total contempt for the people. We have a ruling elite, and until you understand that, Bruce, nothing makes sense. Anything else you want to say before we let you go?
Just how far back does this go? Do you remember when they first started doing it? I don't remember them doing this in Michigan before, trying to force things.
Well, you're going to have to figure out about Michigan. We have a hard enough time figuring out what's going on in California.
It's been a while, though, huh?
It sure has.
A decade?
Yeah, probably, but you're going to have to figure out what's going on in Michigan. That's your assignment, and you keep us posted, will you?
Alrighty.
God bless. Thanks very much. Of course, we do have a couple of stations there in Michigan every evening. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. But so many of our states are bankrupt, and it's only going to get worse. California is bankrupt, and there's no way we can ever pay off that debt. What is the real debt here in California, Stephen?
The real debt of the state of California, not to be confused with the deficit, the real debt is $600 as of July 1st, 2012. It was $631 billion.
How could we get that much of a debt? How much is it costing to pay interest on the debt?
I'm not quite sure how much the interest on the debt is. And the problem with that is the interest is paid from so many different pots. And if this was a real corporation, the chief financial officer would be able to answer the question. The state controller cannot answer the question. The state treasurer cannot answer that question, how much in interest we pay. I can tell you that on a federal level, thanks to Congressman Paul Ryan, we know that the interest on the national debt last year was over $200 billion. On the national debt.
Right, of course it's going to get much higher than that. The only reason it's down that low over $200 billion is because, of course, the interest rates have been artificially kept down. But when the interest rates start going up again, which they will sooner or later, then hang on to your hat.
Oh, absolutely. And our inflation rate is much higher than they announce it. And the way you look at that, forget what the government tells you the interest the inflation rate is. Look at the price of hamburger meat. Look at the price of milk. Look at the price of gas. All the things that you buy on a regular basis. And think about what you paid a year ago and 4 years ago. You know that the prices for every consumer good has gone up dramatically, certainly in the last year, and more importantly, over the last 4 years. So our inflation rate is nothing what the federal government claims of 1 or 2% a year.
You're absolutely right. Well, we go pretty well by what John Williams from ShadowStats.com. That's John Williams, ShadowStats.com. He says the current inflation rate is 8 to 10%. It was up to 11%. It's backed off a little bit, but it's still a disaster.
That's correct. And the way the federal government does it is they put in the price of housing as a significant part of the inflation rate. Now, compared to how many times you buy gasoline in a month, how many homes do you buy in a month? And so they're putting the price of housing as equal to the price of gasoline, the percentage of inflation. And since you don't buy a house that often, therefore there's not going to be any inflation from that. But since you buy gasoline, there is, but because the price of the house is so much more than the price of gasoline, there's no inflation.
Well, I think people have to understand that they keep juggling the figures. If we calculated inflation at the way today, as we did in 1980 or even 1990, why we would have 10 to 11% inflation. but they keep changing the figures. And, of course, they wait till the price of houses goes up inordinately, and then they don't include that in the figures. But when the price of houses begin to fall, then they include that. And it's the old adage that figures don't lie, but liars figure. And, of course, an awful lot of them have jobs working for the government. And if they tell the truth, they lose their jobs. You want to keep your job, simply go right along with this whole phony system.
Well, it's really interesting. Last week, the federal government came out with the statistics on unemployment, and Fox News was able to divine that the specific people involved in releasing that, in creating and releasing it, the managers of that department of government, in the Department of Labor, all of them had donated to Barack Obama for president.
Well, of course, that's simply payback. Basically, if you were ever to do things like this, why they would get us certainly for being dishonest. When the politicians do it, why they just call it politics. Politics, by its very nature, is certainly crooked. And basically, you give money to a politician, that politician will get legislation passed that you want passed. This is how the thing is done. And basically, the politicians are knowing full well the legislation that's going to be coming in about and how it's going to favor certain industries, can use that inside information to invest and make a great deal of money. Now, if anybody else does that, has inside information, and invests, the hedge funds do, well, they go to prison. But when you're a congressman, why, you don't have to worry about it. You can use your inside information. This has been brought out for many years. That's how it was that Lyndon Johnson, when he went to Washington as a congressman, a young congressman in the 1950s, he had to borrow money to get there. And when he left Washington, D.C., he was one of the richest men in Texas and had never had a job other than being a politician. We'll be back in a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We do hope, of course, that you've enjoyed the program with Steve and Frank. And certainly we always enjoy your calls because, of course, you get to know what Stephen's going to say. I would like to know what you're thinking about this. Well, this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported. And if you're in a position to help us financially, we'd certainly use the help. We're talking about $500,000 a year of proposition, trying to buy the time on shortwave and the internet and satellite and radio stations across America. And we do have an outreach, but of course we need your help to maintain it. So if you are in a position to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, or simply to get our products, or you have something you'd like to advertise with us, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com. And we hope, you go to our website and listen to our programs there live or in the archives, or that you'll watch our DVDs, you'll read our newsletters. We want you to get the information. We want you to get it out to others. Now, if you really want to know what's going on in the world, you need to get my talk or my book on the Brotherhood of Darkness. You can get the DVD and or the book, or get them both together at reduced cost. You need my talk on the dark secret. You need my talk on the forbidden secret. You need my talk on Agenda 21, the covert plan. What is Agenda 21? It's the master plan for America during the 21st century. Now, we have other talks on Agenda 21. We have one given by our good friend Michael Shaw, and that's on ICLEI, the International Council for Local Environmental Initiatives. Certainly, you can get that. It's well worthwhile watching. But if you want my overview, it's Agenda 21, the covert plan. And it comes with a syllabus that has the entire text of what I say. And then it has many of the original documents, whether it be the Global Biodiversity Assessment, whether it be the treatise on, certainly on the Earth Charter, of Rebuilding America's Defenses by certainly the group, we call them the neoconservatives. They're all in a very extensive, very large syllabus, but it's well worthwhile having so that you have this information at your fingertips. If you'd like to see the government document on this, it's a book called Sustainable America. It's put out by the government, and it explains to you what Agenda 21 is all about. Who in government is in favor of this? The private corporations, the think tanks, and the various government departments behind this plan to totally destroy America, to impoverish our people, to limit the population, to limit the use of electricity, to destroy our industries. It's all in the book. Now, they're not going to come right out and tell you that. They're simply going to tell you that they want to limit the use of energy in America. Well, basically, if we're an industrialized society, we're built upon energy. But they will tell you they want to limit the use of energy. And then they will tell you that certainly there are too many people, or we've got to limit the population. They're not going to tell you they tend to kill off 90% of the population. They're already in the process of doing it, not only with abortion and euthanasia, but by creating new and terrible and horrible diseases, preventing effective treatments of cancer and suppressing effective treatments, putting metals, aluminum, lead, mercury, certainly where we get it, certainly fluoridating our water, by vaccinating our children, by the use of chemtrails, and chemtrails are real. There's a lot of effort to confuse this. Basically, why do we have contrails? Why? Because they put aluminum in the jet fuel. And they're not telling you that, and that's why we've gone from contrails to chemtrails, or many of them coming out of the jets. Understand, this is one of the many sources of aluminum they're spraying into the environment, aimed primarily at destroying the health of our people. They know exactly what they're doing. They want to eliminate most of the people in the world, and we've only touched on the very fringes of this. Pray for America. Oh, a land that's free.
tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening. From the mountains.